Good evening.
Good evening.
How everybody doing this evening? Awesome. I'm so glad to see each of you out here today. We certainly want to give thanks to God for another expression of his love towards us and allowing us to see another day. God is certainly good. Amen. Amen. As a young child, my mother always taught me and my sisters and brothers that anytime someone takes the time to do something kind or nice to you or for you, the very least you could do is tell them thank you. And so what I wanted to do was to ask Pastor and Ms. Schultz, if they would come and stand up here with me very briefly. You don't mind. I won't bite. Amen. You can just come right here. I just like to just say I cannot thank God enough for you all, for your kindness, for your hospitality, and the Christian love that you all have shown toward me. And so on behalf of the entire Bivens family, we just want to say thank you. Amen. And so you got to show them.
Thank you. You get a hug, man.
Stay right here, sir. And while they're up here, if you don't mind, can we pray for them? Acts 12:5 says, and while Peter was in prison, that the church earnestly prayed for him. And it's unfortunate that sometimes pastors fall into great difficulty, and only then that the church starts praying. But that's not waiting until Pastor Schultz go to prison. Can we just start praying for him now? So if you don't mind getting up out of your seat, and let's come collectively as a church body. We'll come down and Brother Nathan will lead us in prayer.
Nice. I don't know. I don't know. I want you to take me here.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the closeness of this church body.
Yes.
We thank you for the zeal that we've had for your word, the hunger, the longing to hear more of your word. We pray that continues beyond this moment, that will extend, and that hunger will carry us through the rest of the year and onward. We pray especially for Pastor Rick and Julie as in their service to you, that they would stay strong, that they would find rest when they need to, and be rejuvenated, and the rejuvenation of the spring Bible celebration and just being able to worship and listen and learn and less having to give a sermon. And we just thank you for that blessing. We thank you again for Pastor Corey's sacrifice in his travels and the blessing of the words that the messages that he's given us. And as you've challenged him this week,
yes.
And he's challenged us, and we've all grown because of that, and we praise your name for that. We ask that you, again, continue to watch over this church and this church body and help guide us in the direction that you want us to go to spread your name in this community and be a beacon in the darkness that is this world. And We ask all this in your precious holy name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen.
You need to see this and pray for this.
Before we get started here, and I was telling my wife before I was getting ready to come here, and actually I guess I was holding Brother Ken up, but I was on the phone and she wanted to pray with me, and I was like, I was just trying to sit down and remember some of the names from this week, and I was like, babe, I kind of got a little teary-eyed, and she said, what? She did. I said, it's not so often that you run across individuals that live out what they communicate to you. And if I could say anything to you all as a collective body, that would be encouraging, or ask that you would continue to do. And that is to continue to show the love that you have in here, out there. There is a, as the old hymn will say, there is a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know that it is nothing but the spirit of the Lord. And so I just sincerely want to say thank you just for a few people. I was telling Brother Steve and Brother Ken, I said, you get in trouble when you start mentioning names, because someone said, well, why you didn't mention my name? there's just a few special names. I certainly want to thank the worship leaders for this week, Joseph, Matt, and Daniel, and their Daniel and his wife and his little girls. So thank God for each of them. I'm going to tell my wife when I get home that I had the privilege of meeting a couple who have been married for 60 years. And Brother Dunn and Sue were so gracious as to share with me, Brother Dunn, the secret for staying married. And I'm practicing it now, Brother Dunn. Yes, dear. I'm practicing, and I thank God for you and having an opportunity to spend this day, because every place I've been today, I've seen their smiling faces and their willingness to serve. And so certainly thank God for them. Want to thank Pastor Ott and his wife. it was so funny when I first came into the church on Sunday, they were getting their son dressed, and I said, well, naked I came into the world, and naked I shall return. And he was just, he was just exposed to the world and just as happy as he want to be. And so I certainly thank God for them. Also, want to thank Amy and Hannah and Renee and Anna. I want to thank Hannah and Anna for praying for me on Sunday. They were such smiling faces, and I told them I'm nervous, and so I asked for them to pray. And so I want to thank them. I want to thank Lori and Scott. Want to thank Ken. Ken did something special. I considered special. Today, as we were, I was supposed to go to lunch with him on Tuesday, but of course I was ill and wasn't able to do it. And then God fixed it so that we got to probably spend more time today than we would have just over lunch. But as we were coming over, he shared with me his story of his wife, but then he allowed me to hear
a song of, that she sung. And that really meant something to me because I understand how personal that would be and how sacred and how close you would want to hold that. But him to be so loving and so giving and so free of himself to share that with me really meant a great deal to me. And so I certainly just thank Brother Ken for that gift. That is something that I will always remember and cherish. Certainly want to thank Brother Brian for his transparency on the other night. We went out to dinner to Olive Garden, and he's just who he is. He's just Brother Brian is just what you see is what you get. And I thank God for him. I thank for that. I thank for Sister Paige and her stories. I mean, she, where I'm from, they would call you a hoot. She's a hoot. She is certainly a hoot. Let's see who else that I have here. I certainly want to certainly make sure that I thank Steve and Diane Smith. I want to thank you all just for your love and your presence and just for your kind words as well. Also want to thank, and I'm going to mess her name up, and I've been trying to practice it, and I apologize in advance, but your husband's name is William. Boyke. Sister Boyke. I want to thank you, and I apologize again publicly for not being able to fellowship with you on Tuesday nights. I promise you food was the last thing in the world, but I certainly... You know, just thank you for, you know, just for your hospitality and your willingness to want to dine and to serve me in that capacity. I think Brother Nathan, smiling for three boys, wife, awesome. Thank God for you. I thank you. It's always good to have brothers your height on this side. So always great, good to have him on this side. Again, if I've overlooked you, God bless you. I thank each of you for your presence, for your coming out, for being here, for sticking with your pastor, for setting the examples that you've accepted. And that only carries over. You know, they say so long, you know, sheep become product of the shepherd. And so to know what I have learned vicariously by looking and listening to Pastor Schutz, you are truly emulating who your pastor is. And so I just ask that you continue to follow him, continue to trust and pray for him, and continue to know that he is seeking God to lead you all. And know that. And his wife, they both are praying for you almightily. So we definitely ask that you continue to pray for him. All right, not going to be for you long again. Tonight's last night. Last night is Wednesday. No. That's a great thing. I have a wife at home. And the Bible says you're only supposed to be away for a short period of time. As to giving to fasting and prayer, then you need to come together again. And so my wife wants us to come together again soon. And so at 2:02 p.m. on tomorrow, I want to be heading home to her and to my boys because they want to know what daddy is bringing home for them. And so
Jesus.
I was that close. No, I'm in church. I was that close. I was that close. But we're going to look at today. Actually, this was the message that I wanted to, actually I had on schedule for Monday night. And as I said, it just would not come together for me. And And I was like, I was thinking about it. Now I said, you know what? I probably need to bring my manuscripts over to let Pastor Shute see that I did write the sermons that I sent to him. I said, because he may have to, you know, send something back to the school, and I don't want to get back to the school and they tell me, here, son, you got to go somewhere else. I said, well, maybe I need to bring them so I can show them that I did do the work. But one of the things that they teach us in the seminary is that you are to always exegete your audience. In other words, you ought to always make certain you understand and know who your audience is. You know, if I came in here and started talking about Dr. Seuss on Sunday, you all probably wouldn't have showed up on Monday. Dr. Seuss is for probably downstairs. And so as I, you know, was listening and beginning to learn you all, that it, God just began to send me, and I always try to, always, I hadn't always been, but as I'm maturing in Christ, I think it's probably best that I listen, since this is his word. And yeah, I think I'll probably do better and serve him better by listening to him. But the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, looking at verses 8 through 10. Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 8 through 10. Oh, one other thing I want to add this evening so that I can give you a heads up. When we close, at the close of this service, I'm going to do something a little different. Or I'm going to ask that we all participate in the close of this message. And what I want us to do is to close in prayer. So if by chance you're sitting next to someone that you don't feel like praying for, now is your time to move. Now, truth be told, there's been some Sundays me and my wife went to church and nobody knew we wasn't talking to each other. It was quiet the whole way. And so if Pastor would have said something like that, I might have been tempted. I'm not praying for you today. No, I'm right, you're wrong. Yeah, that peace stuff. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. And I want to place a tag on this text this evening, and I wanted to talk about thank God for his grace. Thank God for his grace. Several weeks ago, I got off work ready to go home and get some rest. And in my usual manner, I jumped into the car, put my key in the ignition, but nothing happened. Turned the key over again and pumped the gas, still nothing. What is the problem? I know I got some mechanics in here. I looked at the radio to make sure that it was off. And then I noticed there were no lights on in the car. There could only be one problem, the battery. So I got out and lifted up the hood to make sure that there was no corrosion around the battery to ensure a firm catch was on the cables. I jumped back into the car and turned the key. Again, still nothing. By this time, a coworker of mine noticed that I was having issues and offered to give me a jump. This co-worker was driving a GMC Sierra 1500 truck. This truck had a Hemi. It had a VH engine with 305 horsepowers and 5.7 liters under the hood. I mean, it was a man's truck. And so, you know, I started smiling because I'm like, yeah, surely this big monster of a truck is going to give me the juice and the power that I need to get my car started so that I could get home. Well, we pulled out the cables, and first we attached the cables to my battery, and then we chased them to him, and then he jumped in his truck and began to put his foot on the gas to give my battery the energy that it needed. And then as I smiled, and I'm thinking, look at this, my coworker with this V8 engine. And it's ramming that Hemi, and I don't know if you done heard the sound of those Hemi, and room, room, room. You know, I know guys probably get that more so, but I heard that Hemi go room, 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 and I'm like, oh yeah, let's go. And so he says, all right, Corey, get in there and start him up. Guess what happened? I turned the key, still nothing. With all the horsepower in his car, not even the slightest sound. No lights, no horn, no radio, nothing. My battery was dead. And not even a V8 Superton truck with 305 horsepower could bring it back to life. And I am persuaded that many of us are here have been just like my battery. Dead. That is what our author Paul shares with us today in this second chapter of Ephesians, that we internally were dead in trespasses and sins. Our lives were void of any hope and help and healing. We were destitute of the principles and powers of the spiritual life in Christ. And we were cut off from God. Our sins and trespasses warranted a penalty, and that penalty was death. But Romans 6:23 tells us again, and you've heard it preached this week, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Thank God for his grace. And so on today, I wanted to share the fact that we are saved by the grace of God, and as believers, it is our faith in response to his grace that secures us. Our faith in response to the trustworthiness of God, our faith is the response to the trustworthiness of God. And here in this second chapter of Ephesians, Paul provides encouragement for us, the believers. He shares with us, first of all, he shares with us the fact of our previous condition. Secondly, he shows us tells us to celebrate our current condition. And then he tells us how to see our future place. Consider your previous condition. The text says you were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, Paul is not speaking about a physical death. John Calvin suggests that Paul is speaking of a real and present death. For Ephesians 4:18 says, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Sin places a body of death upon us. In Romans 7:24, Paul describes the effects of sin. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? This term to which Paul alludes is descriptive of a shocking execution that was employed by the Romans. Now listen to this. Listen to this. A cadaver would be fastened to the condemned person so that he could not be released from the corpse. Every move he made was accompanied by this deceased person that was decaying. The decaying flesh of this cadaver would spawn disease and infections upon this condemned individual. And eventually he would die a slow, painful, and emotional, horrifying death. Many years ago, there was a popular movie entitled The Way We Were. The characters in the movie spent most of their time taking a sentimental look at the past. This was the way most of us want to remember the past. After all, they were the good old days. Paul is saying here that the good old days were not all that good. He says, "You were dead." The operative word here is not the word dead, but the qualifier were. You were dead. As we reflect on our past, we must keep in mind that we are believers in Jesus Christ. We were dead in sin. But by God's marvelous grace, we are no longer dead to sin. Thank God for his grace. Paul does not simply stop at this point. He goes further to say that we were not only dead in our sins, but we were unrighteous. Yes, you were unrighteous. It says, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Now in verse 1, Paul focuses on our death. But in verse 2, he turns his attention to the life. That is, the manner in which we lived our lives that resulted in our death. Paul uses the phrase, in which you formerly walked. The term walked is an allusion to our conduct. Paul is saying here in conjunction to verses 1 that we lived in our sin in the same manner with which we are described as we described our Christian walk. Paul refers to our sinful walk. Continuing in verse 2, he explains that the nature of that walk was according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working. These prepositions reveal the source of this old management that we were under and that which we served. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4 says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Paul continues to emphasize this in verse 3. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh. There was a story that was told that kind of paints a more vivid but gruesome picture what Paul was trying to communicate. This story was about how the Eskimo kills wolves. It was a gruesome story, but it offers fresh insight into the consuming and self-destructive nature of sin. First, the Eskimo would coat the blade of his knife with animal blood and allow it to freeze. Then he would add another layer of blood and allow that to freeze. And then another and another until the blade is completely concealed by frozen blood. Next, the hunter fixes the handle of the knife into the ground with the blade up. When a wolf follows his sensitive nose to the source of the scent and discovers the bait, he licks it. He's tasting the fresh frozen blood. The wolf then begins to lick faster, more and more vigorously, lapping the blade until the keen edge is bare. Feverishly now, harder and harder, the wolf licks the blade in the Arctic night. So great becomes his craving for blood that the wolf does not notice that the razor-sharp edge of the naked blade is on his tongue. Nor does he recognize in that instant that which the insatiable thirst for being that was trying to be satisfied was his own blood. His appetite, his craving for the blood caused him. Oftentimes, by morning, they would find him dead in the snow. And like that wolf, Paul says that we were consumed by our own lust. Our willingness to yield to the flesh and the things of the flesh resulted in our death. And as Paul says in verse 2, he made us an object of wrath. It made us an object of God's wrath. And I don't know about you, and I know oftentimes you hear church folks say, why do preachers always talking about sin? They just go on and on and on and on and on about sin. I shared this morning at Denny's with the prime timers. That so often we are eager to get people saved. But if we're going to evangelize them and if we're going to win them, the first step is to get them to realize that they're lost. A lot of the reason why people won't get saved, because they don't think they're lost. They don't think they need saving. As we're going into the Easter season, I like to refer to it as resurrection. But as we're going to the resurrection season, this is our Super Bowl. But instead of trying to get them to see Jesus immediately, let's try to focus on getting them to see their lostness. And I don't know, but I wasn't always saved. Well, let me say that. I'm not going to say that. I did get saved young. I did know Jesus, but I didn't always follow. There were times and seasons in my life that I was just like that. I was just so blind, so lost, so eager. Sin, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, didn't matter. But thank God for his grace. And that's why preachers harp on that. Because it is what separates us. It is what prevents us from having a relationship with our Father. A popular preacher once said, "When ye fall into the outer darkness, we do not go in bands and companies. Each man must fall by himself. And this same loneliness will mark the judgment of each soul. Thou must go forth alone is the hardest part of the verdict pronounced upon an impenitent sinner. But if we view God's wrath or judgment in light of our own court system, then we can be comforted by the fact that when we stand before God, we have at our disposal a team of two or perhaps three attorneys to defend our case." Now, this believers here, those that are blood-bought believers, anywhere we go, God's attributes is that he's omnipresent. And that's why, if y'all don't mind me using the term, that's why we can walk with a little swagger. Because as believers, we are never alone. He's always there. He's omnipresent. And in using the analogy of the court system, even if we got to go to court, we got at least two attorneys, grace and mercy. And when we show up to court, we don't even have to say a word. Matter of fact, we can use our constitutional right and plead the fifth. Because we know grace is going to do what? Going to give us what we don't deserve. And mercy is going to make sure that we don't get what we do. Thank God for his grace. I'm almost done. If you're here today, and that's the whole point of my coming. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you are still living your life in the flesh, there is very little reason for hope. But thank God, Paul here in the text, he does not leave us without hope. And in reality, the hopelessness of life without Christ elevates even higher the hope we have in him. Before, as I said earlier, before you get a man saved, we must have him to understand his lostness. In our world today, the message of salvation through Christ Jesus is not readily received. Why? Most people are in a state of denial. After all, some would say, "I have nothing for which to be saved." But that argument certainly does not stand up when we put it to the biblical test. The Bible says very clearly that if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, you have plenty for which you need to be saved. Paul says you need to be saved from death. You need to be saved from the power of sin. You need to be saved from the wrath of God. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, we ought to reflect on our past and then begin to celebrate your presence. Celebrate. Because when I think about it, now I'm one of those, what they call, more ethos and pathos driven. I'm working on the logos. But when I think about my lostness, and I think about where I was and comparing to where I am, I can't help but get happy. I'm saved and I'm secure and I'm satisfied in Jesus and in Jesus alone. My hope is built in him. And so Paul says, celebrate your presence.
knowing that God's grace has saved you and has redeemed you, has justified you, has kept you, and is keeping you. Celebrate. That's why we as believers, we have to watch. Watch our facial expressions. I know someone told me earlier this week, you got to smile a little bit more. You're looking a little mad up there. But we must celebrate his presence. Because we have been saved from the spiritual death. We celebrate because we have been saved from the power of Satan. We celebrate because we have been saved from the wrath of God. Text says here, for by grace you are saved. The first two words in verse 4 says, but God. They serve as the springboard for the remainder of our text. These two words stand between the grim picture of unrighteousness, death, and wrath, and the hope of eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. God is the initiator. We get it because he initiates it. He loved us first. Ooh, God, that messes me up every time I think about it. How could you love me? How, God, what did you see? What did you see in me? What could you possibly see in me to love me? And then he doesn't love us half the way, but he loves us all the way. He loved us so much that he gave us all that he had. And that was his son. He gave us Jesus so that we could no longer be orphans, but be considered sons and daughters. Thank God for his grace. I really want to close right there. Yeah, I don't want y'all to be seeing this this young man crying, but I'm grateful. And I'm thankful that his grace saves us. He saves us. I'm trying to do this right here. We ought to consider our past. We ought to celebrate our future or our present. But we also need to see our future place. You have your Bibles. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to close with this thought. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. And I'm going to read. I really have chopped this message up. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. Beginning with the 16th verse. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air.
And so we shall always be with the Lord. That's our future place. To be with the Lord. Amen. 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 Verse 18 says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. And so what I want to do is we can just end, and I said I wanted you to help me to close this message. If you would just hold hands with the person next to you and comfort them with these words. Lord, we come. God, just in awe. Humbled. Grateful and thankful that you loved us so. That you look beyond our faults. And saw every one of our needs. But Lord, not only have you saw our past needs, but you see our current needs. And even so that into our future. Lord, you loved us. You died for us. So that we may have life. And life more abundantly in you. Lord, for that we say thank you. Lord, for that we say hallelujah. For Lord, it is the highest praise that we can give unto you. Hallelujah to your name, Lord. We thank you. We give praise to you. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to see where we come from. Lord, we certainly celebrate the fact of where we are now. And Lord, with expectation and anticipation, we look forward to the day when the trump shall sound. Those that are dead will rise first, and then those of us that are yet alive will meet you in the air. And there we shall be with you forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. It is in your name we give thanks and praise. Amen.